Wednesday.
Last week, we're under onto a new section today, a brand new topic. So if there's one major complaint that, or criticism that the anti-Zionist community in Europe had against the Zionist community, especially from the tents of Europe. What?
Sure.
Well, it probably boiled down to one, which is?
They were in front of it.
Right. They were in front of it. But,
that, there's also like the Mashiach hadn't come yet then.
Well, forget Mashiach hadn't come. Right? Meaning, can you go back to Eretz Yisrael? We'll get to that. But the major complaint was, the people who went to build Eretz Yisrael were not religious. So imagine, Lahabdil, right? The idea being, people going to do a mitzvah, but in the process of doing a mitzvah, imagine somebody building a shul. In the process of building a shul, they were bidavka mechal l'Shabbos.
Or a chasnas, sefer Torah equivalent dancing.
Is there something I don't know about?
No, it's a chasnas sefer Torah right now.
Uh-huh.
Same, if it was like, Catholicism.
You're going to get political for me. That's not even close, actually. Why? Because you're talking about somebody... We're talking about Isurim being committed in order to...
Mixed dancing.
In order to... Not even, because in so what? Mixed dancing. But imagine the Torah was written on Shabbos. L'habdil, although I'm not sure that's kosher Torah, to be honest with you. Because if a person is not machab in the Shem Shamayim when he writes the Sefer Torah, then it's not a kosher Sefer Torah. But, so imagine you built a shul and you did it by via Davka Chil Shabbos.
Or by selling money. Because Torah has it.
Oh, you're in a mood today. Okay. What, is he always in such a mood? Such a feisty mood? Alright. So that it's, meaning, it's ironic that the people who are supposed to be most devoted to Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, who are most devoted to Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, right, they're also the most insulted or incensed by Chilul Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. There's a certain irony. I understand you're saying there's a certain, I wouldn't say hypocrisy, but double standard.
Wasn't
it's double
like
standard.
An excuse? I mean, don't we see it as an excuse a little bit?
Really? I don't know.
That like, people didn't want to like, for example, like in America, just an example, in America, the yeshivish world conveniently ignores Eretz Yisrael because it's not from and it's like pasnished.
Uh-huh.
But it allows people to like live in their fancy whatever mansions and like go on with materialism without having to worry about.
Well, were you here at the part where he thought he ranked on people for materialism and they said that every excuse not to move here is because they're consumed with their material lives? Well, you heard that point?
I don't remember. But
then you would remember because he says that. It's very explicit.
But I'm just saying, like
so in order to really understand this, you have to take a sort of a certain background. The background of all this is the. We've discussed this before briefly, but it's important to understand why he is building Eretz Yisrael, not Frum. And the answer is very, very simplistically, we're on Samach. The answer simplistically is because the people that built Eretz Yisrael were not Frum. And not only the people that built Eretz Yisrael were not Frum, the people that built Eretz Yisrael were anti-Frumkeit. They saw religion as return to the ghetto. They saw religion as shtetl Judaism. And they really desired to remove themselves from that kind of Judaism and find a new Judaism. I heard a story this past week.
But the people that built Eretz Yisrael wanted to remove themselves.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I heard a story this past week. This guy told a story, a very well-known educator who's telling a story to a group of students, about the train. There used to be a train from, you could go all the way from Istanbul to Haifa by train. And if you look carefully, there's a a tunnel near Rosh HaNikra. And the tunnel is now boarded up. It's all.
Yeah.
Right. But that tunnel used to be a tunnel for a train.
Oh, cool.
Right. The Turkish Empire, obviously, if Jerusalem was in Turkey, or Haifa was in Turkey, you wouldn't be able to get all the way from one place to another in the Turkish Empire. So a lot of Jews made Aliyah through Istanbul. They got off in Istanbul, and they would take the train down to Haifa. Hard to imagine, isn't it?
Imagine if you could drive to Greece.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Okay, so he told the story. He said that when they got through the tunnel, the people used to say that all the Jews, all the men, would take their tefillin, throw it out the window, literally throw it out the window. Like Jews who got on the Ellis Island and threw it over the board, and they got here because they said to them, that was then, and this is here. Right. And the Chachamim, the Rabbanim in Europe knew this. And it was just a fact. for whatever reason, the Zionist enterprise was taken as a large degree almost exclusively secular, and to the exclusion of religion, and therefore they opposed it with all force of their being. So what happens is you have a sociological anomaly in that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael becomes literally chaz v'trig, because by definition it means for the large part the abandonment of Torah lifestyle. So which would you choose? Right?
The mitzvah does?
I once remember...
Fulfillment of the mitzvah. Of course not, but any possible fulfillment of it, because anybody who says, I want to move to Eretz Yisrael, you assume about them. What do you assume about them?
They're going to be fried.
Yeah, they're going to abandon religion. It's like anybody who would go to America. And to be honest with you, I'm reading this book about Bernard Revel, and I'm reviewing Rabbi Rakevitz's book about Bernard Revel. If you read about Judaism in the turn of the 20th century in America... It's bad. It's really, really bad. There's no kashrus. The shuls are backwaters. Reform is on the rise. And, you know, you understand why Rabbi said, don't move to America. America was called the Trefa Medina. Right? So don't move anywhere. They said, it's better the pogroms in Europe than you're frowning. But what would you, you know, like...
What's been an article on the Jewish...
Nobody thought the Holocaust would happen.
No, that's not the point, though.
Yeah. What?
It's not the point.
The point is that...
We're afraid to tackle the situation. Rather than coming out here, rather than sending from people to make the Medina from, we say, okay, it's gone. Waste of time. There's a few people there who are secular, so...
It's not there are a few people there who are secular.
The only people.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. And then
how
you
many?
Had...
There were some people in Yerushalayim.
You had people in Yerushalayim, but not religious people. Not.
How many do you have? You had millions in Europe.
Yeah, I know.
Pick them up. Bring them over and make the place full. I understand this. It's so,
you think that's so reasonable and realistic to say, okay, we're all going to start a mass movement? What do you mean? You have to look at individual. You have to look at reality. You know what I'm saying? And ideally, you're absolutely right. That's the way they thought it should be. But in reality, if they said, okay, we're all going to create a mass movement. Somebody asked me the other day, oh, how many people came with you in your shul?
Zero.
Right. And I don't blame them. It's not I'm angry at them. If they come, they come because a lot of people in my shul came before me, and I'm sure people are coming after me. They're not coming because of me. Oh, I sweltered. Ooh, you know.
Like, how many people came up from Riskin? Like a lot, right?
7 or 8, from what I understand.
That's it?
Yeah, yeah, don't kid yourself. It's not blown. Let's not blow it out of proportion. He did amazing things building Ephrat.
But he didn't. No one came with him.
No, no. And it's not reasonable to expect that it would. You know what I'm saying? It's good. It could be a Pied Piper. It's not reasonable. Yeah,
I think,
like that.
I was ever hearing Rabbi in Detroit say, like, if you're successful at your Aliyah message, you have your job.
Yeah. Who said that? Was that me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
the Rav in Toronto is a huge Zionist, and lots of it, he drives a lot of his community out of the fire.
And? Where is he?
He's still in the
bar. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting phenomenon.
He's very old. He's an old gentleman.
Yeah, a phenomenon.
It's very hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. So that being said, though, it's not really... Meaning, what happened was Zionism became treif. And anything associated with the Zionist enterprise became trade by association. So you're asking me why these yeshivish communities are anti? It's interesting. If you read the Jewish press, they're really pro-Israel. You know what I'm saying? The yeshivish representative, but there's still that lingering, because in Judaism, and the more traditional you are, the more the cultural milieu, the more the cultural attitudes are retained. It's very hard to rid yourself of them over time. So for whatever reason, Zionism is still trade. Even here... Even most Haredi places are, in a very real way, somewhat shockingly anti-Zionist. Like, forget the fact that they're living in this country and building the country, and if you think about it individually, every individual would say, of course they really would. Most people would say they respect what the state does, but ideologically they're against it. Why? I would say, I always believe, because it's this institutional memory, because you had a Besorah of Gedolim who are against it, and the Gedolim, they set a tone, and once that tone is set, it's like the Titanic trying to turn it around. It takes forever to turn it around.
Part of it is that there's certain elements they don't believe. It was drummed into us that like learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael is like different than learning Torah in Chutz Lars.
We talked about that last week.
Right.
And they believe in that too. Without a doubt. Look how many Haredim are learning in Israel today.
Yeah, but that could
by far.
But now there's a pushback.
What?
That could be because it's convenient.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think it's widely acknowledged that learning Eretz Yisrael is different. It's better. You have to spend time. If you're serious, right? Not the year after program, not the gap year. But if you're serious, learn a couple of years, and then you'll come learn in the mirror for a few years. That's what serious people do. They learn a lot of yeshivas. What? Whatever. Pick your yeshiva. You know what I'm saying? I was reading on the one of the websites how like the Israeli government came in and did Bikoret. Just to check out the people in the mirror, actually learning in the mirror. Thousands of people learning in the mirror.
No, they do it every year to every issue.
Right? Now they do. They didn't used to do it.
There was a huge protest about people talking.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all good. You notice the comments. Did you read the comments? Oh, the comments were great. All the comments in America were like, what do you expect? They're giving you money. They shouldn't check that you're actually sitting there. It was very surprising, actually. Anyway, so all of that background, you should understand to what degree the degree of animosity and vitriol is found against Zionism in rabbinic literature, in classic rabbinic literature, especially the late 19th and early 20th century. Really just very, very, the little that I've seen, I haven't seen a lot, but really comparing it to just cardinal sins. About a Zerah, like you, if you support the Zionist enterprise, you're supporting people abandoning Judaism. And sadly but true, it was accurate to a large degree. And that influenced a lot of their judgment. And that made anything that the Zionists would then create also treif.
It's not the so much the way that people suddenly see the rabbis and we were on salvation against them.
100%. Right. If it's above the line, if it's over the line, then even the good that we see in it is bad. You know, and you can understand from a certain point of view, in a way it's worse than not having done anything at all. Why? If you don't do anything at all, that's one thing. But if you take something that's supposed to be Jewish and you pervert it, it's almost like, you know, like the JCCs. Like, I was never a big fan of the JCCs. If the JCCs did their job, they'd be great. But it turns out that in the end, nowadays, the JCCs, in order to survive, I don't know if it's like this in America, I don't know where you're from, they turn into glorified health clubs. But in order to survive, right, forget Shabbos, in order to survive, they take members from anywhere. They would take members, you don't have to be Jewish to be a member of the JCC. So, perversely, what ends up happening is a lot of Jews meet non-Jews in the JCC. People would tell me a guy told me, a member of mine, how his Jewish sister met her non-Jewish live-in boyfriend, who she was going to marry, at the JCC. You know what I'm saying? So don't have a JCC. At least maybe she'll meet some guy in, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm, like, it's worse in a sense. You're taking Eretz Yisrael, you're taking something that's supposed to be kadosh, supposed to be holy, supposed to be sanctified, and you're making it chol. And this manifests itself in every possible thing that we see in Israel. You know, like the idea of a secular court system in Israel. It's a perversion of Torah, without a doubt. You know, I mean, it's against the idea of what Torah is about. What?
What's the alternative?
Torah system.
Of courts in Israel today?
Really? Again, we're going to argue?
I'm just wondering. I don't know how it worked.
Don't you think that God thought about that? I mean, that he want us to follow the Torah?
It's called a
base, what?
It's called a base.
Yeah, I don't... Wow, you're very influenced by the media. I mean, doesn't that seem logical? That wait till you see what Rav Teichl says. Yeah, isn't that the ideal? What's in the ideal government called the Sanhedrin? Isn't that really what we want?
Sure.
Okay.
It'd cause like a civil war.
Not if everybody wants it.
They don't.
But they will. Okay, now we're on sound. What?
They will.
They will.
David Lewis.
What?
David Lewis wrote a book. He's a YU grad about the comparisons between democracy and the systems of checks and balances you find. Also, we're not too far off.
In Jewish system. Yeah, I mean, but it's not a democracy.
That's not too far off.
Well, the Sanhedrin.
Even.
All right, a group of self-selective. Self-selective. Doesn't that sounds more like the Israeli Supreme Court than anything?
I'll let you read the book, but it's a very...
Okay. So what is Rav Teichl going to say about this enterprise of building the state of Israel? And you have to have that, I built this up in order to give you an understanding of to what degree he deviates from the norm in his community. Meaning he was saying all these things up until the Holocaust. How treif it was, how terrible it was. As Abu Kachacha said, it was absolutely forbidden and terrible, and you can't support the state of Israel. Or I'm sorry, you can't support the building of the Israel or the Zionist enterprise. And he has until now talked about this idea of in order to build up the land, you have to have Torah. Remember we talked about Marasha and Yerusha, the connection of Marasha and Yerusha, just to remind you, you want to keep the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep the Marasha of Torah. You act like children and grandchildren, you get the inheritance. You don't act like children and grandchildren, then you don't. We're now in Samach at the bottom. And after all that, Dibarti, I will now raise up my speech El Bone Arzeno Hakdosha B'Dereinu Zeh to those people who are building the land of Israel in this generation. Hashem Aleihem Yichyu B'Chepetz Hashem Netzach V'Yadam. He says the following: Zebarur Kishemesh. It is clear as the sun. Ki ma'asechem u'polot yedchem, that which you are doing, yitzuyim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is desirous before God. Banitem arim, you have built cities. U'misadeh bur, asitem sudei puria, and from a barren field you have made in a fertile land. V'chol zot bata lechem v'melacha v'avudah rabah, in great toil. V'gam b'kama makomot ma'lash b'sirut nefesh va'al lechem. And it's also, you know, self-sacrifice. La'asot mirekek mayim shayat tamun b'tocho kamim minei chalayim. You took the swamps filled with disease. He'aleitem oto l'sadeh mufcheret upuria. You have turned it into beautiful and sprouting fields. It sounds like the JNF, doesn't he? You know, I gave the whole introduction because it's shocking how positive he is about the Bonaire.
If the people knew that he was saying this, they would probably be like, ooh.
Who I
don't want
to hear
what he has to say.
Right.
It's like some guy in a black hat.
And I will prove that God likes what you're doing. Ravikan, meaning he's going to go into in a greater detail inside the book. Ravikan ra'ya achat buchrachat she'en olei atshuva. I'll bring a concrete proof. Misanhedrin. Amar Rav Yochanan. Mipnei zama zacha Amri lemalchut. Why did Amri merit malchut, merit monarchy? So there was a king named Omri in the time of Malachim. And what?
Doesn't get worse than that.
Right, Omri is a bad king. Very good, I'm impressed. I didn't remember Omri. Well, like, you know, I remember my Nebi through the other books that I read. Okay. Tanit Velia. Right? So the Gemara says, Fa'amachad ha'iti yoshev b'beit ha'midrash. Amarti lehem. So I said, Rabotai manishtana Omri mikol ha'malachim shelo hoshivu b'nei ma'achareyem. Right, remember, throughout much of Malachim, the Malchei Yehud, Malchei Yisrael, it was one coup after another, right? One guy kills another guy, who kills another guy, who kills another guy. No succession whatsoever. Nobody is succeeded by their children. Okay? So why do they all die? Ad Sheba Amri, Voshivo lo shlosha malachim al kisa. He got three generations. How did he get three generations? Amrulo, Amruli, they said, lo shamanu, we have no idea. Amarti lem rabosai, rabotai, I'll tell you, al shechosif ir gdola b'Yisrael. Because he added a city in Yisrael. Akach hashav Amri b'da'ato, Amar, he said, Kishem Shirushalayim hi l'malchei Yehuda, kach tehe Shomron l'malchei Yisrael. So he built the city of Shomron. Anybody know where that is, the city of Shomron?
It's north of Shomron.
Does it still exist today, Shomron?
Domingos, I think.
Yeah?
I don't know, it still exists.
I don't know, the city. I'm sure they'll dig it up sooner or later. Ad kan Sanhedrin will be Yalkut. Okay, so what did Omri build? He built the city of Shomron. Why did he build the city of Shomron?
So it had capital.
Right, because Yehuda had a capital called Yerushalayim. Why should they have a capital and we not have a capital? I want to build a capital. Very good. Right to say for Otsrot Yosef Lagon Hamuvak Rav Yosef Engel Zal Hamusal Kabbalah Shevi B'Shem HaMekubalim. So he has brings in the name of Kabbalah. So if anybody really understands this deeply, you can tell me. L'chora Kashe. Lama Nathan L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Tchar Zeh Davka Malchut. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him what's called Malchut. What's Malchut? He gave him monarchy. Monarchy after, because his children succeeded him. Because why do you give him this reward and not another? Because we're mekubalim, like mekubalim, right? The adua de Eretz Yisrael have a besirat malchus de lamala. Okay, Eretz Yisrael is it reflects somehow the sphera of malchus. So you all know from your art scroll Siddur the seven sphirot, right?
Malchus is the last one, right?
Malchus is the last. Here, grab the art scroll. Sit it behind you. Hod, hadar, lavashta, od. I don't know. Either I don't really know it, or I'm going to fake it. But, you know.
Hod.
Ah, look it up.
Tiferet.
Right, Tiferet.
Sod.
Tiferet. Gura. It's in, you know what I'm talking about? It's in Sigurd Homer. Then there's
seven. Sod, the sixth one. Malchus is the last one.
You got it?
It's on page 282.
Don't, Johnny. You didn't find it?
No. Sorry.
Next page. What, just one of the seven spheres?
Okay. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet.
Chesed, Gvura, right?
Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus.
Okay, so Malchus is the top. And somehow Eretz Yisrael connotes the idea of Malchus Hashem. Okay?
Makes sense.
I've got the Rav HaKadosh. Okay, therefore, beyond the Havetikan b'chinat Malchut v'hosafat ir achat Eretz Yisrael, since he was mitaken the Malchut by adding another city, al kein zachal Malchut davka, I've got the Rav HaKadoshim. Harei, the afre Amri hayam mimalchei harishaim. Amri wasn't bad, he was the worst. U'mikram alei diberakatum. How do I know he's the worst?
It says that.
Enough he says. Right? Vayal Vayal Le'avi, Vayikena Har Shemron, Vayiben at the Har, Vayikra et Shemayir Shabana Shomron. Vayas Omri Hara Be'ine Hashem. Omri was, he did bad. Vayira Mikol Asher Lefana. Not only did he do bad, he was the worst. Omri was the worst.
He also died very viciously.
How did Omri die? But his son succeeded him.
Yeah,
did he fall off a stadium and was splattered by a steamroller? Nobody else gets that? Nobody saw that?
What was that?
Am I the only one? What? Naked Gun? Nobody else saw that? Fall off a stadium? It's an old movie. Okay. I'm dating myself. Leslie Nielsen?
Goes to the bathroom with the microphone. Okay, let's go. He does.
Okay. Vayiva Mikol Asher
Lefanav.
Vayerech b'chol derech. Nobody else saw it. Classic. Vayerech b'chol yiderech yiravam b'nevat b'chatatah asher yichtita. Omri was bad. He was the worst. He was worse than everybody before him. He was Ovid Avodah Zarah. He made everybody else Ovid Avodah Zarah. He built his own city dedicated to Avodah Zarah. It's almost like, think like Lahavdil, a Jewish king, the prime minister of Israel, Lahavdil, decided I want to build a new city, and I'm going to dedicate that city to
whatever.
Right, to the Catholic Church. I'm going to build a church in Church City, call it Christ Church, and it'll be a new city in Israel. And what's God going to say about that? Good job! Well done, BB.
Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
The Gemara says, it sounds a little weird, he says, but that's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that. Okay? V'gam krach zeh she'emid, while I build the city, he wasn't like, I'm going to build the name of God. No, l'chvodo. Moshe v'yitilel shamar, that's what he said. K'shem shivishalayim al chayyuhuda, kach tehei shamalim al chayyisrael. He didn't build it for God. He didn't build it for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He built it for Omri. He built it for himself to have a capital city. Val korchach, so you must say, ach denivna ba'averot gedolot v'rabot ka'ilu, kayam bazeh mitzvas asei di Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You have to say, even in the worst possible scenario, nonetheless, he's fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The im lokein, if it wasn't true, leka mitzvah, leka schar. Why would God reward him for building a city if there wasn't a mitzvah, if God wasn't happy? Vakam, kiven de kibel schar malchut davka, al kocha titiket beza sfira malchut elyona. It's like a very interesting thing. It's almost like a backwards thing. Somehow, even though you're doing it in the most wrong way, because you're achieving an ultimate goal, God sees it in a positive light. Like, in a way, to some degree, in a very perverse way, the ends justify the means. You're rewarded for doing something
when it comes to Eretz Yisrael.
You can't
say that, like, the Zionists were worse than Omri.
Hard to say.
Right.
Right. Because, I mean, they wanted to at least build the Jewish homeland.
Right.
You know, you could argue they weren't over the Avodah Zarah. They were, I mean,
seculars.
They were secular. Okay, hooray! The kiyem of the mitzvah b'chol tikunah av l'mal ve'elyonim. He was fulfilled the mitzvah even like in the most positive way. V'haraya. How do we know this? B'kabelat aschar shegiyah yidei zeh b'chinat midah k'negid midah. Im kain, if so, yesh l'haraya b'rura she'en aleha tshuva. You have an unassailable proof. Even if someone who denies the entire Torah, God forbid, like Amri, who was an idol worshiper, if you agree to Avodah Zarah, it's like you deny the entire Torah. Nonetheless, somehow, building Eretz Yisrael is an independent mitzvah. And how you do it and why you do it is irrelevant. But the fact that you do it is inherently completely valuable. Im kain, if that's true.
Is that with all mitzvahs?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, really?
No.
I don't think so.
No way.
We don't say you're not supposed to do a mitzvah.
You love
a
mitzvah when you use it.
Right.
We thought of the same thing at the same time.
No, but wait a minute. It's not quite the same here.
Why? Why not?
There's no gezel.
There's an Avera. You're doing Avodah Zarah as you're...
You're not doing an Avera in order to do the mitzvah.
Yeah, you are.
You're doing mitzvah and Avera.
You're the Avodah Zarah.
No, the action is performing a mitzvah and an Avera in the same action.
He built the city for his own column to have wild parties.
Right. Sure.
The purpose of the city was to glorify
human. Do you say a bracha over pork? You can eat pork.
What if you want to have a yontif meal over pork?
You said kiddush at the beginning of it. What's the...
You have more in it.
No. Or you want to make kiddush on yayin nesa. On a avodah zarah wine. Okay. Is that something God would say, you know, you probably shouldn't have done that, but shkoyach on the kiddush.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
They tell me they don't. I don't think so.
I don't know. You built a shul.
Yeah.
With stolen money.
With gun money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
Can't imagine.
you still get this carpet from building a shul. You could have taken that gun money and put it in your pocket. You have to give it back to Staka. I don't know.
If you're the shul, you didn't have to accept the gun money.
You're not supposed to accept the gun money. If it's really corrupt and tainted, you know, I'll accept it.
I don't know.
What? I assume he's talking about money funneled from selling our arms to Iran and funneled towards a shul in Nicaragua.
Whatever.
Right.
Whatever.
I'm again dating myself because I was watching a Reagan documentary.
Okay.
Just for all you know, I was working for Congressman John D. Dingell of Michigan, who was not the biggest fan of Israel, during that year, 1988, when the Iran-Contra hearings were going on. Exciting times. What? Nobody remembers this? This is like...
Different
country, so you don't care?
Walsh. No, just America.
Special prosecutor.
I'm not a potted plant.
Ollie.
Oh, remember the name of his lawyer? I'm not a potted plant.
I said there was two. There was Lyman and Walsh.
I don't remember. Walsh was what? Okay. So you have a clear right. Imken. Halakha raya brura l'naseh bizmanenu. So we have a proof. Shebonei ha'aret hema ba'avonoteinu rabim azveh ha'torah. Lo aleinu. Sadly, the people who are building Eretz Yisrael are people who have abandoned the Torah. Aval betach she'inam gru'im mi'amri. I can guarantee you, they're no worse than Amri.
This is like how like the Chari look at us.
Yeah. Well, shakatu be'liv sh'arab be'nei Hashem mikol Hashem lefanav. He was like the worst of the worst. Halach b'derach shel Yeravam ben Nevat she'tit Yisrael, and he followed in the path of Yeravam ben Nevat that caused Israel to sin. Ve'aval pikein, and nonetheless. He's nonetheless fulfilled the building of Eretz Yisrael in its appropriate way. And he was miyachet Shem Hashem by building the land of Israel. We have to say the same thing. Barur, sorry, clearly. So the same people who are building Eretz Yisrael today, just like Omri was able to somehow elevate the Sphiros Elyonim, the Yichud Hashem in the heavens and the constellations above, so too the secular Zionists are also somehow being the Yachet Shem Hashem in the constellations above.
Sounds like a cook.
You... What do you mean?
A cook has a thing like, you know, like every Jew in Israel is part of like the whole...
I don't think he's saying that. I wouldn't go so far. He's saying that by building Eretz Yisrael, you are somehow... You are somehow repairing the yesod of the foundation of Malchus in the Sfira HaElyona. That God's element of Malchus, whatever that means, right, requires a built land of Israel, the Sabbath land of Israel. Yes. You can even understand it on a very simplistic level, on a very straightforward level. There's no way Hashem will be Melech al Kol Haaretz until we are fulfilling the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So as long as Eretz Yisrael is a destitute land, as long as it's not advanced, as long as it's not built up, right, that Malchus is impossible.
Wonder when that stops.
When we continue, stop building?
Like, okay, you do what he says, like, you're not Shomer Mitzvos, and you build Eretz Yisrael, and now it's built, and you're still, I don't know, you're helping, but you're not really building. It's built.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just,
are we done yet? The train isn't done, Yerushalayim. They're still testing that thing.
This is great.
I'm waiting for them. They gotta build a subway to Harabaya. How are we gonna have any other angle without a subway to Harabaya? They gotta build like a train going under.
There was a 16K run in Yerushalayim on Friday. Yeah. And the guy's like announcing the start of the run. He goes, "You're gonna be running on Rehov Yafo. Just wanna let you know that the city decided that even though we're having this run today, they're gonna have testing the light rail.
Not down the train.
Just be careful that you don't get run over by the light rail."
I thought of a joke that I decided not to say. Okay. Okay. You mashi you ava boshim yoter gdolim. Mikol makom, nonetheless, ma'asehem ritzuyim fe'abore olam. והתיקונים היחודים נעשו על ידיהם. And the tikkunim, these are Kabbalistic terms, yichudim, the liyached et shem Hashem, to unify the name of God. Haynu aydei habinyanim shebanu v'hosifu v'hibrihu et ha'aretz eretz puriyah, the buildings they built, and they added to the land, asher zeh ikar yishuv ha'aretz. That's the essential yishuv ha'aretz. Rosh HaGadim Rabbeinu Ma'arad, right? The ikar mitzvah yishar yisrael aydei sadot ukarmim ayin sham. Right? You build the land, you plant the fields, you build the buildings. You guys built houses? Shkoyach. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You have made it a more habitable land. You have fulfilled the kiyum of a mitzvah.
what does he mean by Sadavu Kramim to exclude what? I mean, what is Ikar Yishuv Eretz Yisrael?
I think what he means, I didn't look it up exactly, but I think what he means, I'll have to look it up when I get the bracha, when I get the bracha. I think what he means is by actually planting the land, physically planting the land, not just living there. Okay? It was not considered settled until it was planted. Like I think very often when I drive to Elkanah, like when you drive in the Shomron, vast chunks of land in the Shomron are just empty.
That's like
olive trees.
What?
Olive trees.
No, olive trees. Olive trees. Well, we plant the other trees. It's all rocky. Right, it's just hills.
So do I have to put a garden in?
Yes, you have to put a garden in.
Do you have to use it? So
that just aesthetically, you have to put a garden in.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe that's like an unbelievable days.
What do you mean?
In the sense that, like, I mean, we kind of take it for granted that the first settlers of Israel, like, for some reason decided, like, they were going to be, like, agricultural doobies. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have not been, you know?
Like, no, they understood they had to support themselves.
Yeah, but why? But why
they had to eat. What are they going to eat?
No, but like...
It wasn't like they were going to like do the chalukah.
Hold on a second. There are plenty of countries in the world where agriculture is not a primary source of revenue. I mean, you can think of what they are. I don't know, England or whatever. There are countries where agriculture is not a big, you know, Egypt, maybe.
Saudi Arabia. But they're still able to feed themselves.
You have to start somewhere. On the very simplest level, before you can build industry... You're going to get to a place, and you're going to start something. What's the very simple first thing you start?
Sure, cattle. You could do sheep. You could do, I don't know. You could make baskets.
He's got tons of wheat.
It was all fields.
Yeah.
But not agricultural.
Of course it is. Wheat fields.
It's wool and
agriculture. No, the agricultural revolution started exactly. In England.
Yeah, but we sell the land of Israel.
You got to start with agriculture.
Whatever, after the Industrial Revolution.
Nowadays, you could build a country on high tech. Think about 100 years ago.
No.
I'm not so sure. I don't know.
According to his logic, can we say that what we're doing right now in today's society in Israel is the opposite of Yishuv Eretz Israel?
Why would you say that?
Because I used to work in a place called, just outside Summit Dror, in a place called, I forget what it was, Or Yehuda, or some place, I forget the name of it. It's a factory. It wasn't a factory. It was actually where a lot of the Americans had been to school. There was an American school there. The whole place, if you look 10 years back, was all fields, and now they're taking all of that field land that is planted next to it today.
Like Yad Binyamin?
They sold off all of them.
Like Yad Binyamin?
No, Yad Binyamin was already sectioned off.
No, it wasn't. It was on you're sitting on farmland.
I have pictures of my house. Ari has pictures of his house.
You're living on farmland.
All the more so. You're taking farmland, essentially, and essentially you're building it up, and you're taking all this land that is theoretically cultivatable, and building houses on it when you should theoretically be cultivating.
Yeah, real people still need to live somewhere. Yeah.
What do you mean? Is all a place that you can't cultivate very easily. So I'm wondering whether or not it's a concern in terms of whether or not we are really doing mitzvot Yishuv Eretz Yisrael if you're taking arable land or non-arable land you can grow on and turn it into something else.
But I will leave that as an open question.
But halakhically, you can't operate.
I'll be happy to buy your house off you for cheap. Okay. Depends how guilty you feel.
The situation
not that guilty.
But even today, Israel has pituah in agricultural more than what it should for a country in this size and area. I mean, there are specific agricultural advancements that have been done here to the exclusion of us.
There's unbelievable advancements that have been done here.
In agricultural, DACA. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
We export agricultural technology to... So that's what I'm saying.
So I'm saying, why did that happen?
Go Israel.
Why did that happen?
Oh, you're talking about a different question. No. The idea of the land blooming, the Gemara in Ksuvos clearly says, as easy.
When Jews come back, like blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. There's no greater sign of the Geula, you can't blah, blah, blah that, than the land blooming. Which is why I love running here, especially now with the wheat. It's awesome. You run around, it's like green. This is like the most beautiful time of year. You ride around and it's blooming, you know what I'm saying? You have the Gemara in the back of your mind and it's like, terrific.
But the fact that, for whatever reason, that became a... I mean, if the meal mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is through fields and vineyards...
I don't know. I think that was always considered the first foundation of... Like, even today, Israel is still an agricultural society. We need agriculture.
But why?
Worst case scenario, because you got to be able to feed yourself.
Then why isn't turkey an agricultural breadbasket of all?
Are you sure they're not?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
What did turkey export?
I don't know.
The only thing you can't uproot is a fruiting tree.
A tree, yeah.
But you can destroy any other crops, fern, whatever. You just can't uproot fruiting tree.
I think so. I mean, you can uproot crops if you want to plant something else.
Yeah.
What did we do when we came into Eretz Yisrael the first time?
What do you mean?
With Yoshua.
We planted it.
Is there anything else to do?
It was just agriculture?
Yeah.
Well, that was...
I mean, different Shvatim had different, like, ideas, different tribes, different talents.
That's what I think.
We built corals for the cattle.
Yeah, we have food.
Those Shvatim, right, who are Mever HaYarden. I think they couldn't, the Gemara said, the Rabbi says clearly, they didn't have enough people to cultivate all the land. They couldn't physically conquer all the land. They couldn't inhabit it at one time, which is part of the problem. Because they didn't conquer it, they allowed people to remain and cause them all that trouble, which is the Book of Shoftim.
But we built cities. We didn't. We uprooted fields to build cities.
I don't know. I'm not sure we uprooted fields.
Yeah, the first thing that they tell you, Hashem tells you to do is plant wheat.
Yeah.
It's the very first thing that they have to do when they come and take the shell, plant wheat.
Yeah, the fields are clearly, agriculture is clearly a fundamental. I mean, look at. To be honest with you, look at, all of benching and ala michia and the uniqueness of the produce of Eretz Yisrael. Like, the idea of the produce of Eretz Yisrael has a special place in Jewish iconography, in Jewish thought, in Jewish ideology. Like, you know what I'm saying? The Shiva Minim and the Chamesh Minei Dabon.
All the halakhas of Shemitah and Orla.
Where it's clearly intended to be to a large degree, which actually raises another issue entirely, which I sometimes struggle with, which is, we don't live in an agricultural society anymore. I mean, the vast majority of us, like when Shemitah comes around, like, what do you do? I'm not taking off. It'd be nice if, like, the Torah also said, you know, if you're a doctor, you have to take a year off. And if you're a computer programmer and if you're an educator, you know what I'm saying? But, like, what do you do in a society is a totally different issue where most of the society isn't taking a year of Shemitah off. And it's just a matter of, like, the farmers or the conglomerates having to stop. Interesting.
So you think it's about the people rather than the land?
It's about the land, not about the people. But in a society where everybody subsisted on the land to some degree or another, it was much more meaningful. But today, what was meaningful about Shemitah to you? So I shopped at that store instead of that store. So we fought about I eat this and you don't eat that, as opposed to I eat this and you don't eat that.
I know, it was a pretty big deal.
Quite a lot of people will be thinking about it.
What?
People think about it.
Yeah, and these Yishuv, really?
We first moved
How did it affect you personally?
One second. When we first moved in and everyone was
Your garden was a shambles. I'm sorry to mock you, but so what?
It was a big deal.
So I had huge
when we moved in, when we moved in, and everyone was trying to like finish the
garden. Is it your livelihood?
It was such a big deal. It was a big deal.
Okay. And you are one of the individual people. That is.
Shemitah, there was a guy from the Moitzah that was like, there were like three guys like plopping in trees and like shoveling over it. It was like a big deal.
Not for you.
Yeah. It was.
Why?
Could plant a garden and everyone put their gardens in and then we were like struggling with tzvichin and what fruits and whatever.
Here's when I do this to my children. Cry me a river, you couldn't put in your garden for a year? That really affected your life?
It wasn't like...
You think about it more.
You think about it all the time.
Obviously in comparison to living in Chutz Lars, it's way different. But think about this. Stop working for a year.
Yeah.
We live in a time where we're just not, that's not relevant.
But even for the farmers that have stopped working, how many really stops working?
Oh, I hope all of them.
There are quite a few. If you
yeah, now there are.
There are some. Whatever else, there are quite a few.
You know, you're not wrong. Because Pomerantz, for example, all the apple juice and the orange juice guys, they feel it.
Sure.
You feel it very different when you're really involved in it. For us, it's a, you're right, it's a garden. It's a big deal.
I mean, for you, it'll be different. Much different. For us, I still go to work. I just have to buy a different fruit. Really, we just fight about what fruit we don't eat. You know what I'm saying?
Well, same fruit from a different store.
Same fruit from a different store. Okay. These are the people of Seir, but the Shuvah Shabbat, they were baki, they were experts in settling the land. They were able to sense in the soil, this is good for olives, this is good for grapes. They could taste the soil. It's going to be good. They could like look at it and say, "This is good." Like you know, right? They would know intuitively. All right, is there have iku yishuv haaretz? This is the essential yishuv. Ayn shuvat avash bas shetein tachmatz. Chaykatav sam silver mi atzmo de achavisha bas viya beeretz Yisrael. Habe kemoshe mekayim mitzvas tefillin o sukkah o lulav ayn sham veduk. That's a very strong comment, right? Plowing. The land of Israel is as it's a sugura mitzvah as tefillin. Planting gardens in Israel is very meaningful. Very, very meaningful. Velo od, ela nir ali, he says something that's almost surprising, shocking. Da'isha pashut hazeh, shabuneh ta'aretz, b'li shum kavan al ha'shamayim, rak l'tovato. This person, this simple secular Jew, who's building the land of Israel for his own benefit, oseh bazeh tikun yoter gadol ba'olamot elyonim. He makes a greater tikkun in the upper spheres. Mimah she'oseh eis tzadik. Yeh afilu gadol sheba tzadikim im tikkun chatzot shelo bebchiyot vekinot al shechina vahagalus. What? That's powerful. I mean, almost, what? It's almost, what he, I mean, to be honest with you, to a religious Jew, to a Hasidic Jew, that's clear in a sense. This guy, in his simple building of the land of Israel, for his own selfish reasons, is more effective than somebody, some tzaddik, the biggest tzaddik in the world, crying about the churban tikkun chatzos. So v'adayor se tikkun gadol. That's great. Aval kol ha'tikkun lo se lo higia le'tikkun shegareim isha pashut ma'asei adab ma'asei v'na b'fo'al. He's crying. Well, that's important. He's not building anything. Af li shum kavan l'shem shamayim. Even without any intention. Kasher ha'gemara sanhedrin enam mochicha, as the gemara said. וכן כתב רבינו בהקדמת ספר ראשית חכמה דעיקר התיקון נעשה במי שעושה בפועל את המצווה עין שם. It all depends on the person who actually does the mitzvah. שוב מצאתי בישמח משה במעשה המצווה בפועל. The action of the mitzvah, בלי שום כוונה, מועיל יותר ממצווה בלי פעולה מעשית, אף בלי כוונה יתרה. Right? So a mitzvah without kavana is more important if you do something than a mitzvah with great kavana that you don't do anything. Okay? דברי הם הברורים והאמיתיים ולא יחלוק על זה למי שחולק על האמת. He says, if you argue with me, you're just arguing with the truth. And that's it. I get a sense, listening to Rav Teichdal. What's he saying?
Okay,
he
said,
what?
Sorry.
What, do I want to hear what you said?
It's not important.
I'll listen to the tape. What's he saying? I'm sick of davening.
Here's what he said.
What?
You can't handle the truth.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Which is? We davened and davened and said tikkun chatzot and cried and cried and cried. And it didn't work. And
no,
maybe...
it didn't work, but you...
It didn't...
You don't know what the level of your mitzvah to work. And doing something in Eretz Yisrael, even without kavana, is worth so much more
like
than being a tzaddik and wherever with amazing spiritual ability.
That's all. I struggle with that comment.
It's like
to be honest with you. Don't you? I mean,
that's what
like,
you just said.
I know, but don't, isn't it? Do we agree? Do we agree with that?
Why?
It's like a Moshe Rabbeinu.
Do we not
like,
believe
nothing was worthwhile until he got into Eretz Yisrael? Like it was worth everything.
Isn't there an idea that mitzvot really don't count in the first life? So they were just practicing them until we come back.
Was a Rabban to that effect?
And so, in which case? Well, they're obviously different opinions now. Everything we do here is seven times or whatever it is. Everywhere else, but if really where we're supposed to do the mitzvah is here, along those lines, this is really where Torah is supposed to be. At. So even the slightest thing which is within that.
You know, now that I think about it, I really hate comparisons like these. Because they're false comparisons. Because you say, what would you rather be? What would you rather have? Take child X. Would you rather he grow up and become a contributing, you know, force for... you know, secular Zionism in this, in the, you know, become an IDF war hero and, you know, who knows, become the foreign minister of Israel and build God only knows what? Secular, totally secular, non-religious merits? Or be a Rosh Hashiva in, right, Brooklyn. And influence thousands of students.
Okay, that's not
amazing. So you know what the answer is? I hate those questions. You know what the answer is? I'm going to be Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim and influence and build the land of Israel and influence thousands of students here.
Maybe that's what he thinks, though. Maybe he thinks that they...
Oh. Yeah, it's a false choice.
Is he saying the ones al cheshbon ha-sheni?
No. But he did say it, the tikkunim of X are greater than the tikkunim of Y. He did say that. And who's, you know...
Well, maybe the tikkunim of Y only works just, because of the tikkunim of X.
I just get a sense, just reading it, you could say it's true, you could say it's not true, that living where he's living and watching what he's watching, like, I get a sense that he's saying, we tried the other way. We tried the tikkun chatzos. We tried tikkun chatzos for 1,000 years. And it didn't do anything.
Why
does that say it doesn't do anything? Maybe the fact that the Chilonim are starting to do it because of that crime.
We just got moved from one country to another being persecuted.
Worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
We haven't grown closer to the end. Closer to the goal.
How do you know that their success is not because of this?
No, I don't think you could say that one is not, this didn't work. He's saying that if you have the opportunity to be an ex-child, then that's more important.
Yeah, that's right, what he's saying.
But everyone else has taken it to a point of, this mitzvah is worth so much more and this isn't, or whatever else. There's no way, I don't think he's qualifying. He's not saying this is worthless.
No, he's not. He does make a value judgment, though. It's a hard value judgment to make. It's hard to decide, this is worth X, this is worth more than that. It's hard, how do you know?
And clearly, the opinion of vast swaths of religious Jewry.
99% of religious Jewry would have real issues with this.
They say, listen, Israel's great, but if you're going to go and you're going to go off the deck.
Without a doubt, they would say that.
Then forget it.
I once
read an article.
Would we say that?
Yes.
I would say that too.
Yeah.
Right.
Your kids are going to like be on to like who knows what.
Right.
You're making Aliyah too late because...
If you think, you know, obviously I don't think it's true most of the time, but if you knew, if the odds are in a certain situation that your children, that you thought your children would not be religious, I'm not sure I would recommend going. I'm fucking pretty sure I wouldn't.
Put it off for 2-3 years.
Whatever.
Right.
Well, that I'm not sure about. That's a different issue entirely. Talking about children and raising them, meaning if you had to choose between raising your family secular... Or and moving to Israel or not? I don't think you should, but I think it's a false choice.
But does he think that, or does he think that you better go because otherwise you're going to die, because you're going to be persecuted? The path to Eretz Yisrael is okay. You might be secular, but what the opportunity there is to become the Rosh Hashiva of Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
Here, the opportunity, you're Rosh Hashiva here, but where are you going? You're just going into the gas chambers.
Isn't that what he's saying? Here?
Yeah,
not here.
Through the thing.
Well, he did say that.
He said that.
That's also true.
So
it's better to be secular Jew there, because at least maybe you have a hope of being religious. All right, let's one more paragraph and then we'll stop. It's also a halachic principle. The poskim say, if you have an actionable mitzvah, it doesn't require kavana. Mitzvot einam tzrichot kavana, except mitzvot that require kavana, like davening. Like you can't be mekayim mitzvahs kriyas shema, you can't be mekabel o machut shemaim, you can't accept the yoke of heaven on you by just saying the words. If you say Shema Yisrael, blah, 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 and they're just words to you, and they don't mean anything to you, sadly, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, which is a tragedy in and of itself, because a lot of people do that. V'ayin rashba, d'maaseh mitzvah, d'i'ef shalem mihader, maaseh, if you do an actionable mitzvah, then you can't take back the maaseh, av mitzvah ba'aveir lo mazikba, even if you do it, ba'aveir, it's not terrible, but it's a mitzvah, he af im chas v'shalom, maaseh alei aveir. In the mitzvah, it remains, even if it was done through an avera. V'hachinami kan, same is true here. Kevad yishuv nitra bav nitkadel yadei maaseihem. Since the settlement was increased through their actions, v'iyaf shavim ahadu lemaaseh shenem arkiu eino. You can't take it back. Ta'anu ne'anim mimaaseh yadeihem. We're benefiting. Av im yiyah be'averuchas v'shalom. Even if it's through sin. Nitkayma mitzvah b'chol tokev ha'oz v'nigle v'nister. It retains its full force in nigle, in exposed, and nister, in the hidden. And it's clear what I say. Those people who live land, even if they do it through sin, they're not fulfilling God's will in all the other mitzvot. The act of building itself is desired before God. And it's accepted with love. It's clear. And we'll get into this even more. For this, every Jew who's devoted to God, and he loves God more than he loves himself, he will value and appreciate the building of Israel that's been done until now. And those people who don't value it, it's because they have their own self-interests in favor ahead of God's interests. Can't say it any plainer than that.
Where is he getting this from?
What?
Where is he getting this?
What are you guys getting it from? He proved it to you. He proved it from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. He proved it from Omri. He proved it from Kabbalah.
So he's doing everything from Omri.
Yeah. Okay. The Gemara and Sanhedrin. Stop here.